Years back, I was in America. We actually went only to the youth camp, so the youth, they saw us. We haven't been in the church in that time. But I have finally also again my wife with me. So I don't know. She was here before, is it? Who? Not here?
Yeah, I was. She it's was. My third time.
Your third time, yeah. It's still the same. Well, this is, Pauline will say still a little bit. The building is actually finished now from the school. That was made by, the movie was made by an English group. And it's totally finished. It's operational completely. And there's a lot of people coming. We actually keep growing. And we keep going for the kingdom of God. We are pioneering a new work in another area, 3 hours from the place where we are. And God is doing amazing things. Here is my wife, Pauline. She wants to say something.
Okay. Just want to say it's really a joy to be here this morning. I really enjoy to be with you all again. And we live now 17 years in Romania. And I can just say God is faithful. God is faithful to what He promised. And when He sent you, He provides. And we started with a very small group just together with the translator. We didn't know the language at that time. And if we look now, we have a team of like 29 volunteers from different countries. And God is so good. And it is also an honor to work with the poor. You know, if you live with the poor and you look to the poor, you are with the poor daily, you also count your blessings so much more. And to say like, what we try is to give them education. There are whole villages who don't know to read and to write. And we see that when you don't have anything and the purpose of your day is to find food for that day, for your children, for you, you cannot look farther than just your little environment. And it's just a circle, they don't come out. And that's what we do, we help them to see there's more. If your children get education, they get a diploma, they can get a job, everything changes. And that's really nice to see that already now that we have children who know to read and to write, and when the parents get like a letter from the government or something, they go to the children, the children have to read to the parents what the letter is saying. And it's really just joyful and an honor to work with them and to see people change. I stop here because you have to preach.
Well, we also want to thank you for your faithful support, because you guys are supporting us. I don't know if you know it actually, but for many years, every month we get a check from you in our account in Crescent. We have a bank account there, and the money goes there straight every time. So thanks also for your support in our ministry.
Okay.
Yeah,
can I go?
You can go, Pauline. Pauline, we have divided work now. I don't know if you know Pastor Delbert. Gronister, he has been here also. He preached here, I think, one time. He is actually pastoring our church now in Reagan. So we have established the church. We cut a lot in this video, actually, because of the time. But we have 95% of the 95% of the people who are coming to our church also came to Christ with us. And so it's a privilege, because you can raise up people from out of the foundation. And that makes a total difference also for the work. Well, Pastor Delbert is now, I gave the church over to him. He's pastoring the church in Reagan. Pauline is responsible. He's doing this with a whole team also, with elders and a whole group of people. Pauline is responsible for the Phaneo work. We have a foundation, Phaneo. You can find it on internet, phoneo, and .ml actually is it. But you can put it down. So you can see more about this. And Pauline is overseeing Phaneo with all the projects and all the full-timers who are working with us. And I'm doing, we pioneer new work, 3 hours from Reagan. And God has given us a building there. And we are setting up actually the same kind of ministry what we have done in Reagan. And we are actually now also helping a pastor. We find a man who's God called him to pastor a church, so we are investing in his life. And we are helping together with him. We are raising a new church also in Kutsir. And God is doing marvelous things. You know, the only problem sometimes I say is we are very focused on two prayers we always pray for. If the devil can stop you in one area, then it will be in one of those two areas, especially missions. As in the first place, it's in people. Jesus says the harvest, the fields are white for harvest. We pray for revival. I believe in revival. But sometimes revival is an excuse of our prayers to not go out today and not to see what God entrusts us today. And today the fields are wide for harvesting. Our biggest problem is people. We are now with, together we have a training school for ministry. We are working with 43 full-times almost in our ministry. And we are going out. And still we need people. Laborers. Laborers are our biggest concern. And that's a prayer we always pray for. We always continuously pray that God will send us laborers in his harvest. Because the fields are wide for harvesting. There's no question. We have in 10 places house churches. We see people coming to Christ even in the stores. We have training school students. They are praying for people in the stores. They prophesy over them. We had in one store like 10 people they are coming. And they have prayer. They're being healed. And it is amazing what God is doing. There is so much work. There is so much work. I say always this to the people, and I think that is a little bit the foundation of our ministry. There are two things maybe. Of course, it's the words. It is prayer, but it is also love. And I say always, we do not have ministry. Don't think in terms of ministry. Think in terms of people. If you want to build a ministry is your purpose, you're going to lose. But if people are your purpose, you will have ministry. Because people are everywhere. And people in need are everywhere. And I think it is our biggest call from Jesus that he says, you are the light in this world. You are the one who has to shine the light, the love of Jesus Christ. And sometimes people come to me and they say, Ronald, I don't know what God wants with my life. I have a call upon my life, I know, but I don't know how it looks like. And I don't know where to start, what I have to do. Except, but what are you doing now with that, what God has entrusted you? And a lot of those people who are searching for to do something from God, they're not doing anything with the gifts and the talents what they have today. They don't do anything with the love God has poured out in their hearts. Because if you have received the love of Christ, that love wants to go out of you. It cannot remain inside. It cannot be focused inside. It wants to go out. And the more we are coming in God's love, the more you're going to see people around you who are in need. Need is everywhere. When I come now for many years in the States, and sometimes I was, in the beginning time, I was thinking, America, there is no poverty in America. America is a rich country, but I have been shocked. I have been in places, it was tremendous, what a poverty, tremendous, what a suffering. So many people are living in darkness. So many people are living in bondage and in prisons, and they cannot come out. And the only thing what they need is somebody who stretches out their hands in love and said, hey, listen, I see your heart. You know, Jesus changed my life through one man. And this man, he actually didn't lift his calling. He went to do business, so he knew he had a calling. And at the end of his life, and he regretted, he lost his business, he lost everything, and he lost his call. And he regretted very much. And he said, Lord, if I could do my life over, I would have had an impact, even if it would be in one person. That one person should make a difference. And that one person, actually, that was me. God brought me onto his doorstep in the night when I was drunk. And he prayed for me, and then the Holy Spirit touched me and changed my life.
Wow.
So I'm fruit of this one man who actually lost his call. And that what we have set down in Romania, that is his fruit as well.
Amen.
You understand? So you can make a difference even when it is in one person because of the love and the power of God. Now I want to speak with you about prayer. And I believe that God has given me a word for you this morning. And I want to share this with you. Ephesians 2 verse 6. It's written, for a struggle, I don't have a clock here, so you need to remember me when I need to stop, yeah, because to how late we go here always? 12, was it? 11:30.
You go.
Okay. Okay, we'll go very fast. Ephesians 2 verse 6. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It is not natural, it says, but it is spiritual. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It is not against the brothers and sisters, but it is against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of these dark worlds, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Jesus Christ said that the devil came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But that Jesus, he came so that we should have life. It's the Zoe life. It's life what we have today, from out today in this natural life, as in the spiritual life, as that what is to come when we go to heaven. And he said, I come that you should have life and have it in fullness, to the abundance, till you overflow. And so that's Jesus' heart, is always to bring us into a place of abundance, to bring us into a place of freedom, to bring us into a place of life, fullness of life. And you know, when I was praying for this church also this morning, I pray a couple of weeks before I go somewhere in a mission trip of in preaching in other countries or whatsoever, I pray always weeks before that God is going to reveal himself to us, that God is going to lead me, and I ask him always to give me love for the people, that I will connect with your hearts, and that I can transfer something from out of the heart of Jesus Christ for you. And so as I was praying for you, then this came all the time in my mind, and this is what I 100% believe. I believe that God has a great plan for this church. He has a great plan for this church. And so it doesn't matter what kind of season you might be in. It doesn't matter what kind of period you are going through. I know that this church, you have had deepness, you have heights, you have levels of where God's Spirit has started to work mightily on the young people. You have seen people coming to Jesus Christ. And there was a movement of prayer in this church, and young people going in the early in the morning. They came together and they searched God's face. I've seen the life of God working in and through this church. And I see also that you have been in times that everything looked more dry, as if you went through a sort of a spiritual desert. Everything is the same, and everything is okay, and you love one another, and you know you have an amazing fellowship with one another, is love with one another. I can see that when you come in and how you talk, you say, hey, a relation is a strength from this church somehow, because I see how you connect, and it is beautiful to see. And but there are then sometimes times that it is dry and it is difficult. But you know, God still is the same. And the promises what he gave to you over all those years, because this church have received many promises of God. And God is faithful, and the promises what he has given you, they do remain. Amen. He is not going to take this away from you. The promises from God, they do remain. And so I believe that God has a great plan for this church. But you know, my question was, in this morning I was thinking again, so how many people here know about the promises God has given to this church? How many people do know the promises over the years, that there were directive promises from God and the plans what God has with his church? How many of you still remember the promises? How many you still know what is then God's plan for you as a church? And I believe this is a very important question. You know, when God has given me prophetic words, then I write them down. And I'm praying over it. And I'm activating myself to focus on the promises of God. You can never forget the promises of God. One of my children, she comes out now. She went through a very hard time. This is my youngest girl. She's a little bit wild. She's very creative. She's a musician also. She sings. She's an artist. And so those creative people, they think different. They live different. And they do not fit in a regular society where everything is the same. And they want to step out. They want to experience life. But my youngest daughter, she's a little bit like this. She wants to experience life. She's filled with the Holy Spirit on her young age. And now they left Romania and they're studying in Holland. And I saw her going into the world. And I saw her how she went through a crisis in her life. And I had to go many times to Holland just to sustain her and to help her through her life, because we made serious worries about her, the conditions of her life. She was close to quit her life. And she went through the tremendous deep time of her life. And as we as parents, we may worry because, yeah, you are in Romania and then your children, they are so far away from you. We don't have our children around us. That's the sacrifice what we have to pay. And then so I went many times to Holland and we made really worries about it. I made sorrows and sometimes I cried and said, God, you need to do something. You need to protect her. You need to take her closer to your heart and take her out of all this darkness. And then Pauline, was looking to the prophetic words. And there we came to prophetic words when my daughter was 6 or 7 years old. There was this prophet. And he called us out in a church and he prophesied. My children were not with us, but he knew that we had children in the spirits. And he prophesied over all my children. And he prophesied about the character of my children. He prophesied about a call over all my children. And he said, my son, he prophesied over my other daughter. And it really happens. They're really living in what he prophesied. And then he said, and then you have this youngest daughter of you. And I see you standing with your hands in your hair. Oh, how it will be with this child. Will it ever come good? And she said, I see that child, that child from you, she's very intense. And she goes through very deep times of her life and periods of her life. And the Lord says, he said, but do not make worry about your youngest daughter, because the call upon her life is the greatest. And that helped us so much just to stand upon the promises from God. That God, he knew already when she was 7 years old. He knew and he spoke about the time that he is 20 years old. And he knew that this would be the period that my youngest daughter would go through a crisis in her life. And there already God said, he said, I know and I'm with you. And I have not forgotten the promises what I give upon her life. There is a battle going on in your life. The devil goes around to kill, to steal, to destroy, to keep you away from the promises from God and the plan what God has for your life upon this church and in your personal life. The devil attacks you. He's coming and he wants to discourage you. And he is going to distract you. He is going to get your eyes off all that what God has in mind for you. So that you're not longer going to look into those things. So that you're not going to live that what God has given you. But the promises remain. They're still there. So my question is, what have you done with all those prophetic words? The directions, the plans from God for this church. You have to know them. For if you do not know them, you will not have any direction. And if you do not know what the plan of God is, if you do not have directions, you will not know where you will go. And if you do not know where you will go, you will not know how to pray. So it's very important that you come back to the words, the promises of God, that you get direction, and that you clarify the direction. You know the problem in most people's life, why they do not set goals? Without goals, the word says, without vision, people perish, they go down. But we have to set goals. I set goals with with the Phoneo team. I do a lot of leadership training with them and with the Bible school. We have a training school for ministry. And goals are so important for your life. Not only for your personal life, we have goals. We set goals in our lives and we talk about the goals that we set. You know, we set goals for a personal life, we set goals for a spiritual life, and we set goals for a ministry life. There's always 3 areas where you have our focus on. And we clarify, what are the goals? Where are you going? Because if you do not set goals for your life, you will not go anywhere. You will not see development. Many Christians, they are waiting for God till God is going to come and that God is going to do something. Maybe he's going to bring a revival, but nothing changes. Why nothing changes? Because God is waiting for you. We are supposed to walk by faith. And faith is not passive, it is active. It always focuses. It always goes somewhere. And that's very important. It's very important that you could get together, know what are the promises actually from God for the time in front of us. It's important that you search for that, for answers from God. It's important you go back to the prophetic words from the past, that you search back those words. What were the promises? You see, in order to see the fulfilling of God's promises, we have first to position ourselves. And then to stand up in faith and pray. But if you don't even know where you go for what you were sent, you don't know for what you were sent. And then you will not know what to pray for, where to have faith for. For anything that comes down from heaven, we have to realize this. Anything that comes down from heaven, any promises, personal promise for this ministry, for the church, for your spiritual life, any promises what comes down from heaven goes through a path of resistance. Anything that God promises you, you will find immediately that a destroyer, the devil, Satan, he's there. And he's opposing you. That word Satan means also the opposer. He opposes you. He's not only the slanderer, the accuser. I know what it is to be accused. The devil accuses you. Why he's accusing you? So he can stop you to come into fulfillment of your promises. I had for a period of time that I was thinking, I'm not going to America anymore. The devil hindered me in a tremendous way. There was going all kind of messages around, and there was a lot of destruction of the devil trying to destroy me. And then a half year back, the Lord spoke to me, and I'm thinking like, okay, America time, I'm not going to America anymore. The devil, Paul said, I tried to come to you, but the devil hindered us. I tried many times to come to you, but the devil hindered us. Do you understand that the devil wants to hinder the message of God to can come to you? And I'm thinking, I'm not going back to the States anymore, Lord. It's over, the time. That season is over. And a half year back, the Lord said, Ron, you're going back to the States. I said, excuse me? And here I am. You see, God is not done. He's not finished with my life either. He keeps going. Sometimes I think he's finished with me. Because the devil want to finish me. There's no question. But God is not finishing you. There's always a demonic resistance what we need to overcome in order to possess the land of our promises. You are going through periods of time that you have to overcome resistance, spiritual resistance. That battle is not people, it is a spiritual resistance. And that fight is not natural, but has to be fought in the spirit through prayer fights. And when, you know, when prayer stops, then everything stops. When we do not pray anymore, when we do not focus in prayer anymore, then God cannot work through us anymore. He cannot establish his plans and the promises what he has for us. The Bible says in Luke 18, verse 1, then Jesus told his disciples a parable, and this scripture, this part, this chapter that have changed me. Many years back, God spoke this to me. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never to give up. Never to slow down. Always pray and never give up. How often you have to pray? Always. And especially in a spiritual work. Especially when you have a spiritual mandate, when you have a call. You have to come together and pray. Because if you do not pray, the devil will keep you. He's satisfied when he can keep everything how it is like now. He will be very satisfied. He will help you to keep it like this. He doesn't want to have the new. He doesn't want to have outreaches. He doesn't want to see new people coming into the kingdom of God. He doesn't want to see people being saved and delivered. He doesn't want to see you coming into your personal call. Because he knows that when you come into the call, in your unique call, what fits your unique personality, which is different probably than mine. Probably you have not been called to go to the gypsies, even though that would be awesome. You know, it is. You know, you're so unique in your personality, and God has a unique call what fits your personality. And it can be something totally different than our Pastor Josh has. And it can be something totally different than what this unique guy has. You know, it's not the same. And everybody has his unique purpose, his unique call for which God has called him into life. And so do you know what is your personal unique call? Do you live for what you have been made for? Because there is purpose here on this earth. Not only to die and then you're 99 and you look into your life and then you think by yourself, whoa, what I have done with my life? Where was it going? I have missed it, Lord. You know, I have promised myself when I came to Jesus Christ, I said, God, I own you my life. If it was not for you, I would have been dead. And for me, that is one of the biggest nightmares, probably. I don't know if it's a nightmare, if I could say it like this, but it would be worse, very bad for me, if one day I stand in front of Jesus and I would not have anything to offer to him. When Jesus asked me, Lord, what have you done with your giftings, your talents, with the love I have given you during your time on earth? And I would come empty-handed in front of him. It would make me feel very sad. I want to come in front of Jesus and say, Jesus, here it is. And I lay it all down in front of you. Thank you. Without prayer, nothing changes. It's impossible to possess the land of our promises if we give up in persistent prayer. We are now for example, we are in Kutsi. We are pioneering a new work. And the Lord gave us a building. I didn't even want to have that building. He gave me a huge building. It was an organization in Holland. Tried to plant a work there. It didn't work. And the man who is supposed to lead it there made a total mess for 7 years. And they didn't know what to do anymore. They started to pray and fast for an answer. And said, Lord, we believe that you have instructed us to plant a building there. But why? Because we do not see fruit at all. It's the opposite. Nothing can come forth out of the grounds. And then fear, these people came by us. And they offered me this building. Ronald, you could see 3 hours drive from your home. There is a big building. And this man is searching for somebody who wants to take it over. Do you want to take it over? I said, no. I'm busy in Overhagen. And then... But okay, and then again, next day he goes again. But just send your materials to him. Just send the way how you work and finagle all your materials, what you have, and everything is written out by us. Our vision is written out, and the projects, everything we have on paper and in book form and whatever. And he sent it at least to them. He said, okay, I will send it to you. And a couple of weeks later, I went to my office, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, Ron, I'm going to entrust you the building. He said, excuse me? I opened my email. The board in Holland had unanimously, they had decided to give me that building. I said, wait a moment, I have not even seen the building yet. Let's go there and check it out. So I went there, and then the Lord said, Ronald, I want that you go with the second year students and pioneer a new work here. And they have to do the work. You're just going to lead them, you're going to help them, sustain them, support them, but they have to learn how to pioneer a new work. And that's what we did. It's now 2 years later for a new work that you have to plant from out of scratch. There was nothing, no spiritual work, no church, no free church, only religious churches there, strong religious Orthodox. And so we started. It cost you 2 or 3 years. It was very intense. We had to pay sacrifices. I'm a week in the Regen and a week in Kutsir. All the time I travel up and down. And so sometimes we decide and Pauline comes to Kutsir or we meet each other somewhere halfway in a hotel or whatever because we want to spend time together. And it is sacrifices to pay. Now we have a fixed team, a full-time team, who are going to stay there. We have children work there, we have teenagers work there, we start a church there, we have a football pool there for young adults, these young kids, the boys, to reach them for Christ and also to invest in their lives. And the work starts to come up from the ground. But when we came there, there was a lot of pressure, Sturgeon. When I came in that building, my second year students, they came in and they all want to go back to Regen. Because Regen is so nice. Oh, I hate it here, Ronald. It feels so bad here. It's not a nice atmosphere at all. Oh, and they were complaining. And they said, oh God, I went in my car. He said, God, if I do not take care, they all want to go home. They're going to leave the Bible school even. And then Lord said, pray that the atmosphere in this building is going to change. And I started to rebuke the demons over that building. And the whole atmosphere changed. I came back so, and I felt right like, whoa, it's open here. The pressure is gone. I said to the students, how do you feel it is now? It feels good. Something changed.
Amen.
He said, yes, something changed. He said, I will explain you how it changed. He said, the Lord spoke to me to pray in very specific what kind of spirits were hanging around in this area. I said, but I can tell you, we have not possessed the land yet, so it might come back. But if it comes back, then I'm not going to pray. Now you're going to pray.
Right.
A couple of days later, again, that heavy, dark atmosphere was hovering down over the building. And again, those people were like, I want to go back. I don't like it here. And then I said to them, but what I said, you guys have to pray now.
Right.
Say, I go, you pray. So I left, and when I came back, they were all standing on the tables. And they were, it was noisy in the classroom, and they were praying, and they were loud, and I'm coming in the classroom, and they're standing all on the tables. They said, what are you doing on the tables? I don't like it when they walk up on the tables. I said, why you don't walk on the tables? Well, in the spirits, as an act of faith, we want to stand above it. And they broke the whole atmosphere. And totally broke. And then they were so encouraged to see that they had authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and against the whole army of the devil, and nothing could harm them.
Amen.
But they had to stand up. They had to position themselves. They had to confront darkness in order so that darkness should leave. And we kept praying. The students there, I can tell you, they pray, they pray, they pray. Many times in the morning, every morning I go out of my bed, 5 o'clock, I first pray. And they go out, and they pray. And we pray for this area, and those little kids, what we start to reach, I call them sweet little monsters. It's really a ghetto, these kids. I never have seen kids so messed up, so aggressive. From 6 till whatever, I was sitting with my wife in the garden, Pauline was there. I said, oh, you have it. I said, I have my wife with me. And that are my sweet kids, yeah? And they know me, and I introduced Pauline to them. Oh, she's ugly. It's a child from 6 years, child from 11 years, child from 10 years, and they are so bad. When they go out of the programs, they're starting first always to fight and beat up each other. And now we are praying for this, that is gone. Because they come really out of a ghetto. We work in a ghetto there. It's very aggressive. But we start to pray. We have done the same in Reagan. And the whole atmosphere has changed.
Amen.
And we took a hold. We possessed the land. And the light of Christ started to shine. And we have seen hundreds of people come to Jesus Christ. The whole families were transformed and changed. But you have to confront darkness. You know, even in America, even with people who are in the head and not so much maybe in the heart. Well, let me speak about Holland then. I don't know, you guys are all not in the head, I guess. Dutch people are always here in the head. But I can tell you, there is also the devil working.
Yes.
As well as he's working here. The spirits are exactly the same. Demons are exactly the same. But you know, we give it all a name. All, you know. You know, when the doctor, when I walked out of the heart, I had a heart problem, they did a check with me, you remember probably. And so, Ronald, you need to be operated. It's in the family, the doctor said. Immediately they give you a label. It's in the family. You have to be operated. I walked out of the hospital, I didn't want to be operated. Everybody came against me. So, Ronald, you're too spiritual. You are not down to words. But I felt in my heart, this is something spiritual, what I have to confront. You understand? So I cannot do it. My wife was crying. She was mad at me. Her family was mad at me. My family was mad at me. Pastors were mad at me. Because everybody was afraid Ronald would die. But the only thing what I could do is walk out of the hospital. I had to follow my heart. I had to confront this darkness. A couple of weeks later, I was healed. They prayed for me. I'm totally healed. I climbed big mountains. I had a dirt bike. I ride a lot on my dirt bike. If you don't come from darkness, they will not leave. Your battle is not natural, it is spiritual. And in order to see the dreams, the promises from God come true, you have to confront, you have to pray. I remember when all those kids and your little sister, what's her name? Omega. Oh my goodness. And I saw them praying here, these kids. And they were searching God's face. And they were dedicated. And I saw how the influence because of that prayer came in this church. How young people were touched by the Holy Spirit. People's lives were transformed. Life came forth out of us. As if a river of living water was released through the prayers.
Amen.
You see, and if you stop, keep praying like this. If you don't have vision, if you don't know where to go, and you do not pray like this anymore, then you will see that everything goes backwards. It goes down. Everything comes quiet. And then suddenly we come in a period of time that we wonder by ourselves, where are we heading to? Where are we going? You know, it's not because God doesn't want to work. It's not that he doesn't have promises. The promises are still there. God's word. He's faithful to his word. They are still there. They never change. What are you doing with it? That is the question. Do you know what the word of God is for you as a church? Now, when Jesus told the disciples that they should always pray and never give up, he used the example of this widow lady and the unrighteous judge. Who knows that story from this widow and the unrighteous judge? You know that story? Well, that's in Luke 18, verse 1-8. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Or another translation said, never lose heart. Never allow yourself to be discouraged. Discouragement should be whipped off from your dictionary. We will never lose heart. If I lose heart, everybody loses heart by us. I have to keep going. There's no question. I have to keep going. I'm always going up. I'm never going down. God has called me to be a head and not a tail. I cannot go backwards.
Man.
I must go forwards. Grow is the only solution. I can only grow.
Yes.
I can only increase. I will not decrease.
Yes.
God is a God of life and fruit. That they should always pray, never give up, or never lose heart. In a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she persistently, she came to him saying, give me justice for my adversary. For some time he refused. This judge was a corrupt guy. But afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow drives me crazy, I will see that she gets justice. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. She was not wear out. She wear out this unrighteous judge. By keep coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. Now will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry to him day and night?
Yes.
And will he keep putting them off over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Jesus Christ used this parable and he said to the disciples, it was in line of prayer. He said, you should always pray and never give up. And then he made this point with the widow lady. What was the point? When we read this, what is Jesus' lesson towards his disciples about prayer? He is teaching his disciples to pray with a specific attitude. What kind of attitude? Prayer demands a strong, persistent attitude. That's the point. Prayer demands a strong, persistent attitude. That means you do not have a list with 100 prayer points and next day you forgot that list and you go to a new list with 100 prayer points. No, you have one specific prayer point. You know it is yours. Because the widow, she knew what was hers. She knew what belonged to her. And because she knew, she kept persistently pursuing, she walked and ran, and she demanded to have that what belonged to her. And Jesus says, if you know what is your promise, if you know what is yours, why you don't go after it? If you want to have that what I have promised you, you have to take it. You have to persistently pursue it. You have to keep coming. That is the lesson what he teaches disciples. Prayer demands a strong, persistent attitude. And the word persistence here in the scripture means to keep coming. So it's not one time, it's not two times. You keep coming till you have it. This is how we plan new works by us. I can tell you the whole work what you have planted by us, it would not exist if it would not have been based on persistent prayer. If we would not have prayed, if I wouldn't have stopped, Pauline knows, I was praying the first month when he started, it was nothing. We built there a whole work from scratch. Nobody, it was nothing. We were just together and with my kids. But I prayed day in, day out. And then God said, go. And then we went to this very dark neighborhood, very aggressive, full with witchcraft and occultism and voodoo. And that's the place where we started. And we saw the power of God moving. But it was based upon persistent prayer. So the widow persisted in her request, but she also knew her rights. Do you know the rights, your rights? You have to know what is your rights. God gives you your rights. Spiritual rights. You have spiritual rights. And there is no devil who attacks you. No devil who tries to stop you. No devil who wants to steal from you. Who can stop you if you keep coming after it. If you take position, you take a stance, you take a hold on it. It has to be given. It will be released. The devil cannot hold it. Your battle is not natural, it is spiritual. We do not build churches in natural ways. It's impossible. You can only build a spiritual work in spiritual ways, by spiritual means. Luke 11, verse 9, I'm almost done, yeah? And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks the door will be opened. James 4, verse 3 says, you do not have because you do not pray. If you turn this, in other words, you have if you pray. You do not have because you do not pray. But if you pray, you will have. That's good news. We have access to the promises of God. We can change any situation when we pray. Praying is not just going about once in a while sending up your prayer list to God. Your prayer needs you to make a stand. It needs to position you. You pray and you don't stop till you have it, till you see it, till something changes. A prayer that accomplishes something, a prayer that changes the things in and around your life, that moves things. That's the kind of attitude a widow has. Will he find faith on this earth? When Jesus came, he said, but will I find faith? See, that real faith moves you. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. It's not passive, it's active. For whatever is born of God, that whatever comes forth from God, that is what will overcome. It doesn't matter how the devil is in charge. It doesn't matter what happens. How people are in bonds. How there is a resistance. Your battle is not against the people in this church. It's not that people don't want. You know, sometimes we have made a mistake in Romania that I started to push people too much. And then I started to, it's actually an act of unbelief. If I have to push people all of the time, you know, what I have learned is this. what people need is to see who they are rather than what they have to do. God is first looking to you as a being and not to you as a doing. And we search many times being out of doing. But being comes first. And out of being, doing comes first. Comes forward. So first we are who we are. First we embrace what God has given us. First we embrace and we pronounce and we speak in one another's life the goods, the amazing things what God has placed in your life. That's what we stir up. That's what we encourage in one another. And if you know who you are, fruit will be the result. But many times you want to go somewhere and then we as leaders, we don't even know how we have to go there. You see, in the first place, I have to know where I go. And if I know where I go, then I show where I go. And then you know what happened? Like I speak about Kutsi, for example, because God gave me Kutsi. I know something is going to happen here. Otherwise, God doesn't give me a building. God has a plan. So I speak about a plan. I talk about a plan. I'm already going there. In the spirit, I can see it in front of me. And I'm going there already. And I'm talking about it. And I'm passionate about it. And full of it. And I said, it all happens in Kutsi. And then the people from Fornelio said, whoa, everything happens in Kutsia. What about us? You see, I breathe out life, dynamic, and then suddenly those people, they want to be around me because Ronald sees something and I want to be there also. Suddenly people want to follow you. Suddenly people want to go with you to there what you see because they see Ronald sees. I want to go also there. Now I start to see also. You see, that's what the Word of God does. When God gives you promises, when God gives you words, you have to keep it in front of you because you know it is there and I'm going to have it. Because I don't care what the world is saying. I don't care what situations are saying. I don't care the resistance of people might say. I care what God is saying. And God says, there you go, boy. Run. Take it. Possess your lands. Do not give up because I have given you the lands. When the Israelites were standing in front of the land, God says, I have given you already the lands. It is yours. Now go and possess it. So the giving was God's part. The taking was their part. The giving is God's part for your life. The taking is your part. Nobody is going to do that. Only you. Woo! This is a good message. I give myself an amen. Woo! Maybe I can have some music here. Oh, Pauline would like to play maybe. Woo! James 4 verse 2 says this, submit yourself to God. Submit, surrender yourself completely to His will. Pursue it. Never let go of what God has promised you. Go for it. You know, even I would have been the only one, I said to Pauline, even when the people don't stay, Pauline, I will stay alone, I don't care. But I will do what God told me to do. And I will reach that what God has given me. Even when I would do it alone, I don't care. You see, and it's the mercy of God, as God said, Father, now you don't have to do it alone. I will bring you some more people or not. I'm praying for it. I always focus on a core group of people. In any ministry what we set up, I focus on a core group of people God entrusted me already. And from out of that core group, I start to build. And then you see that God is starting to add. More and more people are coming in. Hey! Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Just two things. This is simply Christian life. Submit yourself to God, to everything what He gives, everything what He says. Go after it. And resist the dumb devil. You see, the devil has power. I'm just stepping out. They check me. Suddenly I have asthma. They said, I cannot have asthma. That's ridiculous. Go to another doctor. He said the same. You have asthma. He said, that's ridiculous. I cannot have asthma. But it's very, if you feel you have asthma, I don't know if you know what it is, asthma, but asthmatic bronchitis. You cannot breathe, and you're tired the whole day. He says, this is horrible. I need my energy, Lord. Otherwise, how I can work for you? So then I took this puff. It's the dumb puff. I never take medicines in my life, never. This is the first time because I was so tired, and I hated to be tired. So then I'm doing like a concession here, like, okay, let's take this puff. And it doesn't look so weird, you know, so bad. Maybe it's not so bad. So I took that, and it helps. And then after a couple of weeks, my whole throat was affected. There are so much percentage who is taking the stuff, they get an infection. And I got an infection. And I said to Pauline, you see what happens? If I take medicine, you need medicines for the medicines. I said, I'm not going to take this stuff anymore. It's done. I said, I was so tired of it. And from out of today's, I said to Pauline, I'm never going to take anything anymore. And from today, I'm healed. From that moment on, I was healed. I never had problems anymore. The devil goes around to kill, to steal, and to destroy. To stop you to go after what God has in mind for you. He wants to discourage you. He wants to stop you. And he's trying all kind of things to get you away from the promises of God. But never give up. You can never give up. Never ever quit. Say, God, I will have it. You pray yourself to the place. You move yourself to the place. You kick yourself under your butt going to that place. So, but I will go there. And I will not go in there whining and crying, but I'm going there with victory in my eyes. Not like, you know what God gives me in the building. I have to go to Kutsir. I don't want to be in Kutsir. God, why you call me to go to Kutsir? No, you see, it doesn't work. Of course, it doesn't work anything with an attitude like this. I had to go there and I had to breathe out victory. It was already mine. That whole city is already mine. We pray over the city. We first started to pray that God would plant new free churches there. I don't have to be a pastor. We first prayed that God would send pastors to plant new free churches. And there is this guy coming. He's praying suddenly out of nowhere. God, I met him and God said, this human, this guy with his family, he prayed for years together with his wife and children in his house. He's praying for his city for years. And when he saw me, he knows me from conferences and youth camps and whatever. His children, they know me. And when we came to Kutsir, his family, they were stunned. They were looking at me and they're coming to me and they were crying. And they said, but you're coming to Kutsir? I mean, you have to understand, Kutsir is a little city. It's nothing. You might say by yourself, can something good come from this city? It is in the middle of nowhere, just one road in it, there's not even traffic passing. That's it, that's the city. We have the biggest arm factory from Romania was seated in that city. They wiped off from the carts, from the land cart. Didn't exist anymore. There's still a weapon factory just for 800 people. There were 15,000 people. They have cannons and everything was totally isolated, the whole city. And that's the place where God calls us to go. And these people are looking to me and said, they could not believe it. He said, what are you doing here? You see, God doesn't care to, you know, it is not going about all the greatness, about all the thousands of people. God just needs to find one heart that's willing to go wherever he wants to go, to be there where God wants to be. You don't have to preach for the thousands or the 10,000 or the 100,000. And maybe you have to, I don't know, that depends on your call. My call is to be there where God says, plan new work, pioneer new work, instruct people, train people, and release them for the work of the ministry. That's my call. Hey! Woo! Hallelujah! Let's dance! Hey! 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 Thank you, sweet Jesus! Woo! It's so good to be here, Josh. You have an awesome, sweet pastor. He's an awesome guy. I talked yesterday with you. And this guy is so pure. I'm looking into his beautiful eyes and said, oh, excellent man, you look like my son. When I look my son in the eyes, he has always this purity in his eyes, this sweetness and kindness. And I want to totally protect that. And he said, oh, don't go into this angry world to protect him. But you're a strong man. It's not that you're weak, absolutely not. You're persistent, man, and you keep standing in faith. That's what I like.
Yes.
Because you do have vision. But try to make it more clear. Go back to the prophetic words over all the years. Ask Pastor Mark, ask Pastor Derek. What were the promises from God for this church? It's still there.
Yes.
And make it known to the whole church. Make it clear. It's very important. Hey! Okay. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Well, the coffee is waiting, I guess, for the most of you. Of the warm meal. I don't know what is waiting. Let's close our eyes. We'll have still some ministry time. If people want to have prayer, you can come in front. I want to close this meeting. Oh, hallelujah. Hey! God's Spirit is here. Woo! Yes, sweet, sweet, sweet. Beautiful. Beautiful, sweet Jesus. You're so beautiful. Oh, yes, Lord. We love you. We love you. Love. We love. We love you, Jesus. Life with you is never boring. You're never boring, Jesus. Never. We love you, Jesus. And Jesus, sometimes we are becoming a little bit quiet. We're sinking in. And we don't know it all together so much sometimes anymore. But one thing we know you. And we love you, Jesus. Our hearts are going out to you. I will never give up on you, Jesus. I will never give up on you, Lord Jesus. Here's my heart. Oh, I submit myself to you. I surrender. All that I have is yours. Here I am to worship you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Beautiful, sweet, sweet, sweet Jesus. You love me, you love me. Oh, how you love me. It's amazing how you love me, Jesus. You love me so much. It's amazing. I cannot even understand how much you love me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your beautiful love for every person who is here. He loves you, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you. Oh, how much he loves you. It is ridiculous how much he loves you. You don't know why. Maybe you might think I don't deserve it, but he loves you, he loves you, he loves you. Even myself, God, why do you love me so much? It's crazy. And still it is there. His love for you. He will never reject you, he will never tear you down, he will never forsake you. He will never leave you, he knows your pain. He knows the struggles of your life. He said, my daughter, I'm going to take you out of this. My daughter, I'm going to take you out of this. It's coming a change. It's coming a change for you, my daughter. Trust me. It's coming a change for you, my daughter. Thank you for your faithful love. Thank you for your faithfulness. That you didn't quit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, oh. Oh, you're here. Your beauty is here, Jesus. You're so friendly. You never tear us down. You never discourage us. It's always this invitation of love to pursue all that which you have for us. I will have it, Lord, even more. It's just the beginning. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, I ask you to stir up a new hunger for prayer in our lives. That we will become wildly excited to pray. That we're going to see and understand the power of prayer, persistence, intercession, prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Right now, I ask, Father, I ask you to call some of the people. You have a specific call for intercession. And God is calling you to come back into the place of intercession. You were there, you have been there, but you lost. That mentality, that searching for his face and pursuing God and interceding. And God calls you back into the place of intercession. maybe that is your call. But then I can tell you, it is an important call. Because when God called you for intercession, He at the same time has given you authority. See, the devil has power, but he doesn't have authority. You're the one who is in authority. Thank you, Jesus, for release and understanding of the authority which you have given us. We can change everything through the authority of faith in prayer. Oh yes, Lord, we tear down the fighting walls. We tear it down in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. We tear it down. I come against the strongholds of the devil. I come against his lies and his discouragement of the devil. It's not in flesh, it's not in a natural battle. I break down. I break it down over your life right now. I command you, Satan, to let go. I command you to let go. You will not hinder this church anymore. I break it. I break your resistance, what you give. We will resist you, devil. And I break the spirit of accusation and of guilt and condemnation. No more condemnation. No more guilt. No more shame. In the mighty name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of condemnation and accusation. I bind you right now. In Jesus' mighty name. And I release you from it. If you feel accused, if you feel like that voice in your head, not good enough, never good enough, I break that voice. You are good enough. You're accepted. You're beloved. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hey! Ha ha! Thank you, Jesus. I will come back here, I know. Ha ha. Thank you. Beautiful, beautiful, sweet, sweet Jesus. So let's receive the blessing. Father in heaven, let me go home. Bless our coffee. Bless our food. Father, protect us. Go with us. And I ask you, Father, that we will meditate on this word this whole week. That this word will enter deep in our heart. That the devil will not come and steal away the words, because this is seeds, and I believe you are good grounds. And because I plant seeds in good grounds, that seed will come up in your life. Ha! Thank you, Jesus. You're good grounds. Ha! Ha! Thank you, Jesus. Say to you there, you're good grounds. I receive the seeds. Ha! Seed of life. Thank you, beautiful Jesus. So I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Oh, and may Jesus reveal His love to you this week. May He bring you to new levels of revelation how much He loves you. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. There is such a sweet presence of Jesus here. I cannot stop. I have to stop. I cannot stop. Oh. Amen. Have a good Sunday. And maybe see you tonight in the prayer meeting. Woo! Come on. Amen. I give it back to you, Pastor Josh.
Our elders will be here at the front, and Ronald will as well if you want to come and pray now. Other than that,
shine upon you and give you peace, and we'll be back at 5:30 tonight for prayer. Let's pray. Thank you.